welcome to Hallmark's The Spot, the greatest.
The greatest what?
Audio presentation in the history of the world.
Wow. So that's more than just a podcast.
Exactly.
That's every audio presentation.
Everything. This particular one is the best.
Oh, okay. I feel like my voice is not up to snuff. I got a little froggy hoarseness going on.
Well, you've been speaking a lot this week.
I have.
Yes. So we'll forgive your
raspiness.
Raspiness. It could add a little zing, a little flavor.
It could.
To the podcast.
That could be the thing. The thing that makes it the best audio presentation.
That could be. It is certainly possible.
Sure is.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Ellie.
And I'm Jim.
And we're here to talk about two things. One of them is a movie called Her Pen Pal.
Yes, the continuation of Summer Nights.
Yes, Summer Nights. There's one more to go.
Yeah.
Something about Sand Dollar Cove.
Yeah, Sand Dollar Cove. And then we roll into our favorite Christmas portion of the summer.
Yes. I even have my light up Christmas tree.
Yes, you have your ceramic Christmas tree with the Christmas lights on it.
Right, the meta, because it's an ornament. It's supposed to hang on your tree.
And it is a tree.
It is a tree, a Christmas tree. So, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the last episode of The Good Witch. Yes. And we remember their names. That's the twist.
We made a point. To remember people's names.
That's right. We'll still forget them when we're telling you about it.
We should be up on most of them.
Right.
I'm still going to call him Dr. Boring.
Go ahead. And Mopey Priest? What? Mopey? Yep. Mopey Chaplain?
Chaplain Mope. And Dr. Boring.
Yeah.
Of course they're best friends.
Of course they are.
Sam? No, that's the daughter, right?
Sam is Dr. Mope.
Oh, Dr. Mope is Sam. What's the daughter's name again?
The daughter's name?
Yeah, the daughter.
Grace?
Grace. Okay.
She did not figure into the episode at all, everyone.
No, but I just couldn't think.
There hasn't even been like an update on how she's doing in Milan or whatever.
I'm sure she's...
She's getting designing coffee with the best of them.
Designing up a storm in Milan. That's right.
Yeah, I'm just jealous. She's got that good Italian food.
Yeah.
But isn't she like designing clothes or something? What is she doing there? Why do I feel, I get like a very Sabrina vibe about this whole thing.
Yes. Yeah. Designing clothes. Ah. What else are you going to do in Milan?
Well, it is famous for that. It's one of the world's fashion capitals of the world. Yeah. Yep. So we'll talk a little bit about that, although we already just kind of did.
Yeah.
Or we could continue. We could actually continue that and talk about like what happened.
All right. We might as well roll into the Good Witch. I'm trying to
remember what happened.
It's the wishing well episode.
Abigail loses her ring down the wishing well.
Yeah.
And thank goodness they had realized that they didn't hear a splash.
Yeah.
And they were able to reach in and pull out the bucket that had about 40 coins of hapless wishes.
It's a wishing well. We might have.
I thought people knew that. Sorry. I forgot.
If they saw it, I'm just saying.
It's a famous wishing well in Middleton. Martha swears by it. She's been putting coins down that thing for years. And her wishes weren't always granted, but she didn't realize that's because they ended up in this bucket.
Okay.
Why would she
say it's so great if most of her wishes did not come true because they hit the bucket?
Exactly. I don't know. Well, because not all of them did, you know. About three of them didn't come true.
Because they upturned the bucket.
And all of a sudden. And
all the coins went into the wishing well.
And it's magic.
And so the backlog of wishes suddenly started coming true for Martha, because she apparently is the only one throwing coins in all these years.
Well, and Stephanie.
Oh, yes, that's right. Stephanie as well.
But yeah, so Tom comes by and surprises her with tickets to Buenos Aires so they could go tango.
Then she hurts her ankle.
There was another one too.
Oh, she.
But I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, she had another wish that came true. Then she hurt her ankle, which kept her from going to Buenos Aires. But she said she wished for a twisted ankle to get out of dodgeball.
Yeah, in elementary school.
In elementary school. So she said even those wishes were coming true.
Right. And Stephanie ended up with like three guys. Because one guy from summer camp, Camp Weehawken, that's a place in New Jersey. Every time they say Camp Weehawken, I'm like, Weehawken, New Jersey. And he comes back and she's got the French teacher and the ex-boyfriend. And everybody wants to hang out and spend time with Stephanie.
Well, that dude came back because he was with the musical guy.
I remember it was like the maniacs and the manhandlers.
Right. And it turns out that Dr. Boring used to play in the band.
Excuse me, Sammy Six String.
Oh, yeah. Six String Sammy.
That's it. Yeah. Dr. Boring used to play in a band with this guy who's like a famous musician.
Right.
So, of course, he knows all his songs and he ends up playing in with him at the concert that is to benefit the church that hasn't even been incorporated. I don't know the name of it. They're just trying to save that church.
Right.
And they had enough to save the church.
They had enough to move the church, but not to buy the land. Right. Put the church on.
Right. So meanwhile, Cassie,
first it was George is trying to get this old-timey CB to work.
Yeah, and he walks away, and she hears somebody say, like, hello, hello, and she's just, of course, it's Cassie. So she's, like, sitting down talking to her, and she said, Jelly. I mean, the woman on the thing said, Jelly, Jelly, is that you? And they start talking, and then they finally, she goes to meet her.
Right.
She's got a pot of coffee, and she realizes that Jelly is her mother, like Cassie's mom.
Right.
And that they used to be best friends in Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, this woman had no idea that Cassie's mom died.
Right.
So she tells her finally, you know, my mom died in a car accident quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they become friendly. And it's that woman who ends up going to the concert and says, well, if you have money to move the church, I got plenty of land.
Yeah.
Says no one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, if it's land you need, I got tons of it.
I got tons of it. I was like, do you want a church next door when they start putting in a parking lot? And what if they decide they want a school and they build a building? Like, I mean, I want to know more. I want to know, like, how much land does she have? Is it on another road?
They didn't go into detail.
I know. I can't wait to learn more.
Yeah. So
little would anyone and say?
They don't even have to pay for it. She was just going to give it to them.
Give it to them. So they better get that 501c3 incorporated right away.
Yeah. That's true.
So, what else happened?
Oh, so the Dr. Boring went for his MRI and the MRI said, yeah, you're fine. And he goes and they say, you should be happy, you know.
Your
MRI said you're fine. And then he starts, he was like, I may not be able to operate again. Now it's, I may not be as good.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm saying,
man, lighten up.
I know.
You're such you felt sorry for yourself for three episodes now.
Well, it's all part of Dr. Boring's charm.
Yeah.
Man.
So it turns out he's fine because he's able to rock that sick Telecaster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And anything else happened? I don't know. There was a new
Abigail and Jonathan.
Who's Jonathan?
Abigail's fiance?
Donovan.
Oh, Donovan.
Remember DD. Donovan Davenport.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, I was close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the reason, I just want to say one thing. The reason that they were making a wish in the wishing well is because Joy met her dad.
Yes.
And the amulet is like underneath some parking lot or whatever. They'll never be able to get it if it's even still there.
Oh, and the painting that fell down.
And then the painting fell down and they found underneath the painting
another painting.
A painting within the painting. What was the painting?
It was underneath? Two women wearing amulets.
Right.
Just so, like the one.
Right. So they wished in the wishing well for some sort of a clue that could help them go on since they didn't have the amulet.
Yeah.
And this is what happened. The painting fell down and they realized that there's another amulet out there. Meanwhile, in Donovan's bid for governor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. You know you want to talk
about it. So they meet at the tennis club. Some dude who's very influential
right.
in he, politics.
Donovan's tried to get on his calendar and he can't meet for like 4 months.
Yeah.
But he and his wife or lady friend are super competitive at tennis.
Yeah.
Just like Abigail Pershing, of course. And so he, Donovan, tells Abigail, you know, they're doing a little bit of like gamesmanship, you know, all friendly.
Yeah, they get invited to have
play
a game.
Doubles the next yes. day. So then the next day, they show up and they say, okay, let's do a little wager. And, oh, you know, let's buy each other lunch or whatever. And Donovan wants to throw the match. And Abigail's like, not my style. But then she does it just to, you know, she keeps on playing poorly.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, so wait, now you want me to lose, but you want me to do it well. And yeah. she's like, I just can't do it. She said, we're just going to be another couple that they beat if we let them beat us.
Yeah.
And so he said, oh, okay, follow my lead. And he hits an ace. He serves an ace.
Yeah.
And she's like, ooh. And so they won.
Yeah.
And they go out for that lunch immediately.
That's right. And he said, well, we're going to talk about that political career of yours.
That's right. So he is
yeah.
on a path to the stars, baby. You can't stop
Thanks
that Donovan
Davenport.
Well, she's the best. She's mm-hmm. the woman behind the man.
Yep. So then, and also Joy goes on a date with the firefighter and
Naomi or something.
I think so. And
they have a good time.
Everything seemed to be going well on that front.
Yeah, they're nervous. They were both nervous, but they really enjoyed it. And they were supposed to go to the rock concert. And after that, they had ice cream in the cold.
Yeah.
Which apparently is good. And that was it.
I wouldn't turn my nose up at ice cream in the cold.
Okay. I would just turn my nose up at ice cream. Mostly in the cold. But yes. I was just thinking we should have had some ice cream. Although it's ice cream in the hot over here.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's all I got. Anything you want to say about
No, that pretty much summed up what went on.
I'll tell you the one thing that I found annoying.
What?
Was that Cassie's mom's name was Ellen. Cassie's mom's friend's name was Ellen.
Yes.
But her friend called Cassie's mom Jelly.
Yeah.
Because the two of them fit together like peanut butter and jelly.
Yes.
Well, how come Cassie's mom didn't call her Pee-Pee or Pee-Pee? Peanut butter or something, buddy? Peenie? I guess not Peenie. Peanut buttery?
Yeah.
I guess Jelly is a much better nickname, but it was...
Maybe she just didn't talk about it.
Yeah, but the letter she wrote her said, my dearest Ellen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, but it was a nice letter about how Cassie was going to change the world and touch so many people's lives.
That's right. And
have a store that she never takes money from. Merchandise.
My mommy loved me.
Yeah. Well, it was very touching.
Yes.
Yes. So anyway, that's it. So stay tuned next week for another riveting episode of Dr. Boring and... Chaplain Mope. It's really supposed to be about the three witches there, the Mary Wick women.
Yeah, exactly.
So shall we talk about her pen pal? Because that's all right. I'm just saying. I think it's time.
Yeah. I think it's time. So Good Witch, I just have to say, hasn't been impressing me that much this year. I think the storylines are even more ridiculous than they normally were.
Well, no, because those humongous stones.
Oh, you can't get over the stones of Middleton.
The woman who came to steal the giant emerald or whatever, the ruby. Yeah. And then there's the whole, like, the humongous diamond with the crack in it or whatever. It's like, no way. Actually,
it was the ruby that had the crack in it.
Because it was the heart. Right. Yeah. But it was a green emerald.
Yeah, there was a big emerald.
That's the one that
chick tried. There was a big ruby heart. And then there was a round diamond. So it was like round and heart-shaped and rectangular.
Right. But I'm saying that was a little far-fetched. So the amulet for protection in the runes and all that stuff, they're just trying to get a little bit more magic-y with a right. K. But it is kind of,
and forgeticus spells.
I just feel like I like Stephanie, but I don't like her. I don't need her to be a main character.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it really is about the Merriwick women, and they're really better, and everybody revolves around them, but I don't need Stephanie to be like, oh, I've got three men, and
I don't, it really doesn't. Stephanie is not a character I'm a big fan of.
No, even though she's, entrepreneurial, and she,
Well, that's great.
I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, they occasionally go in for coffee, fine. But
yeah, she's okay as the bit part.
Yeah, revolving storylines around her and not so much.
Yeah, and it's not the actress, it's the character.
And a little of the actress, too.
For you, just saying.
All right, her pen pal.
Woo! With the Irish chick.
Event planner Victoria can't wait to attend and plan her best friend's Paris wedding. But when she finds out that her ex is bringing a date, she reconnects with her French childhood pen pal. Stars Mallory Jansen and Joshua Sass.
That's totally misleading.
What's misleading about it?
Okay, she finds that, but that makes it sound like she reconnects with him on her own. Not like her friend stole her phone and left a message as her to get them to reconnect.
Right.
That's all. I'm just saying, you read in, you assume that she's like, oh, my ex has a girlfriend. I'm going to call this guy.
Right.
No, it was like my ex is bringing a girlfriend and her friends pushed her to call him. And then even left the message because she would have hung up.
Because that's the way it opened is she's this wedding planner extraordinaire. They're all going to Paris for her friend's
destination wedding.
And she says, oh, he was my first love. And they said, no, your first love was Jacques, your childhood pen pal.
That's right, Jacques. And the boyfriend, the ex-boyfriend, shows up. And the date is someone that she knew of, kind of his right. work wife. And she's gorgeous. And this woman, freaks out. So then when Jacques shows up and he's hot,
Yes, he's a steamy, hot Frenchman.
Yeah. She's like super happy he's around.
Yeah. So they start spending time with each other and you get the feeling that, she kind of dumped him.
Yeah.
When he came to.
He came to visit her in the U.S.
In the U.S. And he is still.
He's single.
Yeah, what do you call that?
Torch.
Holding a torch, thank you. For her.
Yeah. So he has his parents' chateau, or grandparents or whatever. They bought it in 1940, it seemed like.
Right.
Which I was like in the middle of or right before Nazi occupation, I guess.
Yeah.
And
But it was huge.
It was you. 30 rooms.
Yeah.
30 rooms. He's like, oh, I'm just hanging out at the chateau. She's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And he lives in it all by himself.
Yeah. Well, he probably lives in about 3 rooms.
Right.
So he's doing some work because he is a contractor, which you'd have to be if you live in a 30 room chateau. And the only way you can afford to keep it up. But he's being wooed by a hotel chain who wants to
buy
the chateau so they can, you know, expand it, make it a event venue, whatever. Right. And he's like, oh, you know, he's having trouble giving up on his dream of living there with his family.
Yeah.
Continuing the tradition. And he says, he stalls them and says, give me a week. Or they said, we'll give you till the end of the week, but we need to know.
Right.
Meanwhile, he goes to meet Victoria, and she's the maid of honor plus the wedding planner.
Right.
And the bride is the most annoying, indecisive person you ever saw portrayed on TV.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be getting married. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have gotten married in Paris. Oh, what? I don't know what dress I want. Wait, you don't have a dress. You're coming to get married in Paris and you're trying on a dress and buying it the week of your wedding.
Yeah.
You're tasting cake the week of your wedding. Like, I can't even.
One could say that, she is not a very good wedding planner.
Yeah. Well, and I can understand that they...
Victoria.
I can understand that they wanted to do some things when they got there, but all that stuff should be, you know, you can't just get a cake in 3 days or whatever. It's not like they got off the plane and went cake tasting. And so, good. Now we have 7 days to get this cake. They did other stuff.
So meanwhile, Victoria's ex-boyfriend is now jealous of Jacques.
Who wouldn't be?
Keeps telling Victoria, we should get back together. Maybe I made a mistake.
I still have feelings for you. And I told my girlfriend, I still have feelings for you.
Yeah. And she does not handle any of that well, like saying, no, we broke up.
Right. Because she still thinks she spent the last 6 months thinking maybe there's a chance. Maybe we shouldn't break up.
Uh-huh.
And so when he says that, even though it's clear she's got chemistry with Jacques, he's like obviously very attentive. She's there. Why not just enjoy herself? No, she lets herself get all distracted by this guy who's like, oh, I don't know. It's been so hard to move on because like we're really meant to be. And it's like 12 years. They were together for 12 years.
Right.
And did not get married.
Yep.
And he breaks up with you and you're like, maybe I should go back with him. Yeah. Why? And I'm not saying that like, oh, you have to get married in order for it to be real or anything, but 12 years and he breaks up with her and then just says, oh, you should have just paraded around some hot Frenchman in front of him a month after you broke up and you could have gotten this out of your system.
I don't know.
That seemed like ridiculous. Why would she turn her head and look at that guy? Oh, we have so much history and blah, 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 blah. No. He dumped you.
Yeah.
So how real is that?
Yeah. He wasn't even like a cool guy or anything. He was kind of like wimpy.
Yeah. So they're at the hotel. So they're in this hotel. The hotel is beautiful. They showed them some grand ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And like a couple days into their stay, the guy says, we had a problem. There's been a flood. The ceiling is... Leaking, the ceiling is falling down. And we don't think we're going to be able to host your wedding because the other room is also booked. Right. So the wedding planner has to go find another venue.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that.
Yes, you think the hotel would try to find them another venue.
Right. But instead, it's Jacques to the rescue. He says, well, you want to come see my chateau? And she shows up and sees this palais, this palace-like chateau, and says, we could have it here.
Right.
You know? And he was like, oh, I would love that.
Exactly. And she said, you can use it as a showcase, and then you can have events here.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. So you won't have to sell your place.
Yeah, and he's getting super excited about it.
Yeah.
And she's getting super excited about it. And then she keeps going back and forth all the time. She gets super excited. And yeah. then the next thing you know, the guy like looks at her, the ex-boyfriend, I forget his name.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, maybe. Oh, and she's having all these conversations with Jacques.
Yeah.
About their love and their relationship and all mm-hmm. this stuff. And she keeps on saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, maybe he go, oh, you should let things, if you love it, you should let it go. And she, oh, no, if you love it, you should fight for it. Like they have completely opposite views.
Right.
Of how it is. But he like clearly loves her, still loves her. He basically professes his love for her. And then, of course, sees the boring boyfriend.
Yeah. Don't watch what I'm doing on the board. Just keep going with what you're saying.
You know what? So the boring boy, he sees the boring boyfriend. Oh, well, the boring boyfriend says to Jacques, hey, maybe we're supposed to be together. You should you should kind of like, you know, stop dreaming of this chick. Because
I'm here and I'm going to make time with her again. And we're going to be boyfriend and girlfriend again. So
we're going to go steady. And so then he lays one on her in the garden. And of course, Jacques comes out and sees this right after he told the, isn't that right after he told the hotel chain, I'm not going to sell.
Yeah.
Because they were really like going, oh, you could see like their whole future together.
Yeah.
And then she kisses the guy or lets him kiss her and says.
It's not like he kisses her and then she backs off and say, oh, don't kiss, you know.
Yeah, she's still considering. Kissing me.
She kissed him.
Yeah. And the guy sees that.
And it was a long kiss. And he sees this. And then she gets upset that he's upset about it.
Well, yeah, she's like, what happened? She doesn't know that he saw the kiss. So then she's all day the next day checking her phone. And where is Jacques? But
that really steamed me was that scene. Because he saw her kissing her ex-boyfriend, yet she was acting like she was the one.
Well, because she didn't know he saw that. So the guy, to her, he's just ignoring her now all of a sudden.
But what I'm saying,
she still kissed him.
What I'm saying is she had no right to be upset about anything because she's the one making time with her old boyfriend.
Yeah.
You think if she would feel even the slightest twinge of guilt from it.
Right.
And she didn't.
Yeah. Well, because it was comfortable. It was 12 years.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, there's no thing between us. You should understand that. I understand you were kissing your boyfriend.
Meanwhile, that his girlfriend is super nice.
Yeah.
His girlfriend's like, hey, he told me he still likes you. This is awkward, but, you know, I'm not going to get in your way.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And then she decides to be okay with this guy after, oh, he's just confused.
So then on top of all of this, the bride starts getting cold feet because of her indecision. Oh, maybe I shouldn't even be getting married. Maybe he's not the right one for me.
Yep.
And every time someone says, do you love him? Oh, yeah, I love him. Yeah. But it's all the but. Oh, but.
She was awful.
As Pee-wee said in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, everyone always has a big butt.
Yep, it's true.
And so she learns she decides, oh, I actually do love this guy and I'm going to get married and I'm going to wear a third option dress.
No, second option. kind of what you just said.
Yeah.
She realizes, because he shows up at the rehearsal, which isn't where the rehearsal would be. The rehearsal dinner is in the hotel.
Yeah.
But the rehearsal for the actual wedding is at the chateau.
Right.
I mean, the wedding's at the chateau, but mm-hmm. they aren't at the chateau. He shows up and she is like, what gives? And he's like, I saw you kissing, you know, and she says, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you know, I loved you. and whatever, and he leaves. And that's the moment that that seems to be the moment that things start to like filter in. And she remembers, you know, because they keep on talking about their letters and stuff. She goes, oh, you wrote that to me once or whatever. So she calls, she gets an inspiration. Somebody says something to her and, you know, what are you going to talk about? Talk about love.
Well, to put the absolute topper on this whole ridiculous story.
Oh, that's right. The chaplain.
The chaplain doesn't show up.
Yeah. So he can't, the chaplain can't make it. So now she, who is ordained, as of course every wedding planner is, just in case you got to do the nuptials, she has to say something, and no pressure. It's got to be like perfect and memorable and totally reflect the bride and the groom and be special enough for their destination wedding in Paris. It's, you know, you just pile it all on there. So she's like got nothing the day before. She sees Jacques, then she calls her mom and she goes, Mom, I know it's late, but you got to help me go look at my letters.
Right.
And she took a picture or whatever of, the mom took a picture of this letter about what love is.
Right.
And she uses that as the thing she bases the whole wedding ceremony on.
Right.
Which Jacques overhears some of it, but there was something unsatisfying about that whole thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because she's, and then she says, well, I'm paraphrasing because English is not, wasn't his first language and stuff like that. And I was going,
did you have to say that?
Yeah.
But I guess they had to say that so that everybody, it's clear to everybody that it's like this French guy.
Yeah.
And so, but he doesn't like come right over, right? It's like, then they're dancing, right? There's, it's like later on in the evening, because she's doing that and it's light out. Next thing you know, it's dark. People are dancing or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's when the guy finally comes and talks to her.
Mm-hmm.
What's been going on? You know, there's time where you're all hanging around, wait for people to take photos, and then you're having food. And
yeah.
Why does he wait so long to come say, you know, oh, it's like, it's supposed to be obvious to him that she gets it now.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't act on that immediately.
Right.
Even though
he's been pining over her for like
years, 12 years.
12 years.
Yeah, because, you know, as soon as the boyfriend showed up, she dropped him and the same thing happened again.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah. So, It was pretty hard to watch, I have to say.
Yeah, so.
Although, Jacques is not hard to watch, everyone.
Oh, my goodness.
Jim hates that.
Yes. So.
Is it time?
Yes. Time.
One and a half. For all the reasons I just said.
Yeah.
It was very, it should have been. It had, okay, and them going around the tour.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, the L'Arc de Triomphe is right behind you. And, oh, Eiffel Tower. Oh, how'd that get there?
Exactly. These gigantic things that are, you should see a long time before you were standing there.
Yeah. So, I didn't get the feeling. Like, I felt like this was supposed to be a French place, but I didn't get the feeling that they were in Paris. That I felt like they were green screening a ton of things. And, but that's not why I didn't like it. I didn't like it. It was just painful. I'm sick of these unself-aware heroines.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know who they love. They don't know what they feel. They are okay with a boyfriend of 12 months, dumping them for 6 months and then getting jealous and saying, hey, maybe I messed up. And I don't know. I don't have a lot of patience for that. I wish they could do something else. And she, you know, it's another woman. She realizes she's giving the wrong wedding. She's giving her usual signature wedding, but not the wedding that her friends would like. And I just think, how are you having this problem when you're having a destination wedding in Paris? People are spending thousands of dollars to get there, to stay there in the most expensive city on earth. And you're like, maybe I don't want to get married. So I just, between the one not knowing, if she wants to get married, and the other one being completely indecisive about love and not knowing, you know, oh, I had, her friends are even like, this is your first love. This guy's amazing. Right. Blah, blah, blah. No, I don't know. Maybe that other guy, the one who dumped me, maybe he's the one. And that chateau. Would you say no to that chateau? I could say no. I don't think I could.
I'd be well, like, the thing is, the bride seemed upset that they were having the hotel wedding.
She was upset about everything.
You know, with the big ballroom and all of that.
Yeah. Oh, and maybe then I don't want this.
But that chateau was not.
But they anything had it in the garden.
Yeah, that's right. They had it in the garden. But still, the chateau was nothing to sneeze at. It was pretty fancy.
Yeah. Well, at least they didn't. She did keep on saying, like, oh, well, you know, my brand and my business. And I hired this person. And
so.
Yeah, I don't know.
So they profess their love together. And then they're going to work together and happily ever after. I give this a one.
What?
I hated it.
Oh my gosh.
I hate it. I thought that they all were ridiculous in how they acted. Like no human's gonna act like this.
Especially the hotel making it a problem. And she goes and buys the other dress for her friend and says, oh yeah. Now you have options. One for the ceremony and one for the dancing. Okay, I've been at weddings where women had more than one gown.
Yeah.
But they had those gowns for weeks.
And they got fitted.
Yeah, not this one that she didn't even try on. Her friend just bought it for her.
Yeah, all she did was see it.
Yeah. She didn't even know how it looked. Those dresses, you can love it on the hanger. You put it on and it could look like terrible.
That's right.
So why would she buy for her friend 2 days before her wedding? Because
you know what they say about wedding dresses.
What?
Just because it looks good on the hanger does not mean it's a banger.
that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
It's not a sausage? Yeah. I mean, just so ridiculous. I mean, so ridiculous. Just the self-involvedness of that bride to be like, everyone's gonna come for my destination wedding, maybe I shouldn't have it, oh maybe, but I love my husband and to be, and I can't imagine being with anyone else. That alone is enough.
You're right.
But then put on this woman in the smarmy boyfriend who's like telling Jacques to step off, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just
yeah.
And like you said, not pushing him away, not even saying like, wait, hold on here, we should, you know, let's talk about this. You dumped me 6 months ago. What's changed?
Yeah.
You just, know? Ugh, awful.
And no one else, they say.
What?
Just because it looks good in the joint doesn't mean it's on point. Just because it may look good on the rack, but you're not necessarily on the right track.
Oh,
for a good-looking wedding dress. That's another old chestnut.
It is another old chestnut. So, wow, I can't believe it. I thought 1.5 was in the basement, and you basement.
No, this I actively did not like this. Like, I wanted, it made me want to jump at the screen in some of the scenes. And I'm going, I've watched some bad Hallmark movies, but this one got me mad.
Wow. Wow. All right. So I got mad at the characters. I take it it's a delete.
Oh, yes. With extreme prejudice. I want to record it again so I could delete it again.
Well, you may get a chance to do that. But I say, let's not record it again. And it's too bad that the Jacques guy, has he been in any other Hallmark movie?
No, but like I said, they both co-starred in the ABC television show Gallivant.
Oh, that's right.
This was a reunion between Joshua Sass and, what's her real name? Mallory Jansen.
Oh. Okay.
Like she played some kind of princess.
I think we only watched it once. We only watched it once because of Lassiter.
Yeah, because Lassie was in it.
From Psych.
From Psych.
Yeah. So, okay. So delete. We're both delete.
Yes.
And 1 and 1.5. So if this comes back around on your dial, folks, or on your DVR, you may not want to watch it. Or maybe you want to watch it to see if you hate it as much as we did.
That's right. Maybe. Hey, you may like it.
Did we get
it? No, we haven't gotten any email.
No mail?
No mail.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we will. Maybe somebody will say 1, 1.5. That makes 2. I give it a 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please send us an email. Tell us what you want to know.
What you want to know?
Well, yeah. If you want to know something about the show, we can do that. Tell us what you think of the show. That's
right. And where would they send an email to?
MarksTheSpotMail@gmail.com.
Yeah. And you could always leave a review, a positive review.
Yeah.
A 5-star review.
Go to Apple Podcasts or any other podcast distributor that takes reviews.
That's right. Yeah.
You can get us on Spotify and all kinds of good stuff.
Overcast. Is that what we?
Yeah, that's a directory. Overcast. Yeah. You can find us.
Yep. Yep. That works. So yeah, I got nothing else to say. We got Welcome to Sand Dollar Cove or whatever coming up next week. Christmas in July is on the horizon. It's within striking distance.
Exactly. And did you know they are doing an original movie?
In July?
Yes.
I did not know that.
They are doing an original Christmas movie.
Wow.
Hallmark's Christmas in July 2021 schedule plus a new movie with Amy Acker.
Amy Acker.
And Warren Christie.
Warren Christie? Is that Warren? No, it's a different Warren.
No, Warren Christie's the dude from The Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
Oh, he didn't age all that well.
You just said you like him better with the facial hair.
I do.
Clean shaven.
Is it back or is he still clean shaven?
Now the picture shows him clean shaven. Oh,
well, plus he was also in that terrible,
It's called Crashing Through the Snow, starring Amy Acker, Warren Christie, July 10th.
Oh.
On the Hallmark Channel.
I can't wait.
Maggie and her ex-husband Jeff have always been friends first. When Jeff's new girlfriend, Kate, Brooke Nevin, spontaneously invites Maggie along to their Christmas getaway in Aspen, she jumps at the chance to spend a Yuletide holiday away with her two daughters. Oh my God.
Amy Acker has two daughters?
Wait a minute. I got to read that again.
She's going on vacation with her ex-boyfriend and his new girlfriend.
Maggie, Amy Acker, and her ex-husband have always been friends. First. But her ex-husband has a new girlfriend.
Right. Who invites Amy Acker to go
to a vacation. Christmas getaway in Aspen.
Right.
And she goes with their two daughters. So it's her.
Oh, and their two daughters.
Yeah. Jeff.
It's almost like they're getting parent trapped.
Yeah, exactly.
But guess what? Aspen. I hope they're going when everybody's there.
Yeah. See, there. What I'm looking at on the screen, it shows a still, like a headshot of Amy Acker and then Warren Christie, clean shaven. Then as I scroll down the page, it shows a picture from The Most Wonderful Time of the Year where he's got the facial hair and he looks like a completely different person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That dude's a two-face.
He is. He's got two faces.
He looks different with a beard than he does without a beard.
Right.
As most people do, they look different with beards. I mean, but this, it looks like almost like a completely different person.
Yeah. Not just the guy.
Not just the guy with a beard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, something to look forward to, folks. Christmas in July is almost here.
Yep.
And, but enjoy your summer nights. Don't be wishing for the future. Just enjoy it as it comes.
Live in the present.
That's right. Be here now.
Exactly. Enjoy the journey.
That's right. It's not the destination. It's the journey.
Yes. Unless that destination is Christmas movies. In July.
All right, everyone. Well, enjoy the rest of June and you know, and save up your sleep for
For Sand Dollar Cove.
That's right.
You were gonna say save up your sleep for Christmas in July.
Yeah, because of Santa is coming.
But I think they should show Sand Dollar Cove a little love until.
That's right. That's got that dude from One Tree Hill.
That's right. And he's a boat guy in this?
Yep. He's got a yacht or something or a sailboat. Oh, just wait till you see her in the, you know. And she wants to buy a piece of property. And he's like, you're going to have to talk to me if you want to buy any property. And she wants to put a resort up. And it doesn't look like a resort kind of town right there. He doesn't look like a resort kind of guy. So we'll see.
So until next time.
Until next time. Be cool.
Okay, we'll go with that sign off.